Let's go on to here, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We were close to it this morning, and you probably saw it sitting there. Why didn't he just go to that one? You got to spread out these sermons so you don't get it all in one big shot. I still remember my early sermons, Jeanette. You probably would, even before Mark time, I think. Think, Jeanette, you've been with us almost from the beginning. And you've even lived in that area a while ago, family and everything. Although, Mark, you were with us pretty much from the beginning, just about. I wonder who the... I don't know. Okay, we're looking at Philippians chapter 4. We've got two more finally brethren tonight, and they're pretty quick. Well, 7 years takes us back. Takes us back in the earlier times, anyway. I think, Jeanette, you probably go back to 1950s or something like that with us. And he says here, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Did I say where we are? Romans, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Then he says, those things which ye have both heard, learned, and received, and heard, and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, most are looking at verse 8. And you look at those things, and, I mean, what's out there anymore that's honest? What's out there that's just and pure and lovely? And this is about thinking. This is about just being aware of something. This is just thinking on. So if you're reading or listening or whatever it is that causes us to think, we know the daily news is not honest. We know it's not just and pure and lovely. We know most of the novels we can read are not don't fit those categories. We know the food that we eat doesn't fit those categories, but we don't have to think on that. We just consume, so that's off the hook, sort of. Now, we did a thing on this a long time ago, before the Paul days, and the only thing that fits this is your Bible. I mean, the Bible's honest, it's just, it's pure, it's lovely, and has a good report, and is full of virtue. So, you know, think on biblical things. But are there things out there? Well, there must be. And Paul's in sample would tell us what's out there. But here's what I want us to consider, and this is what we have to tell people because they just don't get it. Most great commission Bible thumping type people. Now, we're not talking about modern Christians out there. Modern Christians live the devil's copy of what God did for those that believe by taking care of the law, all things are lawful. And the modern Christian believes that too, that it's okay to do anything because of God's grace. Well, they're wrong. They're wrong in the fact that they don't have the real Savior. They've got the devil's copy of the truth. So we have Christians who are happy, but they have no joy. So we've got people that understand Paul's teachings with a real Savior. We have a joy, but we're not very happy. That's kind of you think about that for a couple minutes. But see, we don't have, we can't take this grace and use it and abuse it without some kind of a loss. So the modern Christian says, well, it's all grace, no big deal. We get the Bible-thumping Christian, the Baptist guy again, you know, the guys that are Bible-thumper, as we call them, or we've been called or whatever, King James or whatever, and they say that if you don't do these things based on verse 8, if they go to this verse at all, that if you don't do this, then you've heard me say this, they say God's going to get you. You're going to suffer loss. You're going to lose your fellowship. If they're of the kind that says we're not going to lose your salvation, but you will lose your fellowship with God. I've heard that more than the salvation itself. And that's just not true. You know, I look at this with music, for example. There is a music that is honest and just and pure and lovely. There really is. Not just because it's classical, a lot of classical Baroque music of Handel and Bach and Mozart and all these guys, that their music does fit this category. It truly does. Even Beethoven's music fits this. So is it possible then that we could be listening to a music that would fit this and it would be pleasing to God? And I believe that there is. But there's one thing in here that kind of spoils it in lots of ways, and that is where it says, whatsoever things are of good report. That's a real dampener right there. For example, here we go. You got to be old enough to know who I'm talking about here, but the Beatles. The Beatles have written some music that when played by an orchestra is very nice. The harmonies are fine. They're not into the rock beat because the orchestra is doing it, and they're well-written musically. But there's a problem. It's by the Beatles. If you know the Beatles. And so as a result, that music, which is somewhat clean music, is not of good report. Let's look at Beethoven. Beethoven wrote some good classical music. What kind of a report does Beethoven have? Well, Beethoven's the one that took, or has, but what kind of report does Beethoven have? No, that's right. Beethoven took the clean, pure, good report, lovely, just, honest music, and put man's emotions in there. And he did it by throwing in some minors, and he threw in some dissonance, and then he resolved them, and he started manipulating man's emotions. And so Beethoven's music really doesn't have a good report because of who he is and what he's done with music. But when you compare Beethoven to Liszt or some of these other guys in the Romantic era, which, you know, or the modern era with George Gershwin, for example, well, Beethoven's music sounds clean. But Paul is one of those that I probably should know the verse. See if I can find it here. It's going to take a while for this to come out. Here we go. Let's see if I can find it really quick like here. I should have thought of this earlier. It's 2 Corinthians 10:12, where it says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." So we can't make something pure, honest, lovely, just, etc., by comparing them to somebody who is worse. Yeah, Beethoven, when compared to George Gershwin, is very nice. But a lot of people like George Gershwin, but they don't like Stravinsky. A lot of people like Stravinsky, but they don't like Aaron Copland. So, do we go back in history to find the right stuff? You know, well, we have to go back in history to find the clean music, no doubt. But to compare ourselves with somebody who isn't as modest, somebody who is more immodest than you, or somebody who is louder than you, or somebody's a worse man than you, or worse habits than us, that doesn't mean, you know, God can care less. We look to His standard. So, just keep in mind here that if we don't think on things that are always honest, or always just, or always pure, or always lovely, or if they fit all the above categories but they don't have a good report, or if there's no virtue in them, what's going to happen? Well, again, there's something else that we can put to our strings of liberty in Christ. It will burn. I mean, we look to Paul's manner of life, and we want to know what it is that will burn in the judgment seat of Christ. So we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we've learned by now over all the years of me talking about this, where he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "Every man's work shall be made manifest. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon what?" Back to verse 13. "Shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Well, what sort should it be? Well, we know in Romans 2:16, the sort that it should be Paul's sort. Should be based on Paul's teachings. Romans 2:16. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my," meaning Paul's, "gospel." So we all know that. So it's the work that's going to be burned. What work? Well, it's the work that's not going to cause someone to stumble. It's the work that truly was edifying as a Christian. It's truly a work that wasn't a power over you. You controlled it yourself. It's the work that wasn't done as an occasion for the flesh. It's going to be a work that was expedient. And it's going to be a work that was honest, just, pure, lovely, and had a good report and had virtue. Those are the things that aren't going to burn. And then when Paul says, those things which you have both learned, Paul, those things that are honest, just, lovely, pure, good report, and virtue, Paul has taught them to us by either by his words or by his actions. So that verse right there, Philippians 4:8, if we don't do those things, whatever it is that isn't honest or just or pure or lovely or of a good report, if there's no virtue and praise, it'll burn. It's just that simple. Make sense? I'm not sure how much of you heard out there because it looks like the sound is gone again, but it's not gone on the video, so you can always listen to it later. So when he says, finder, brethren, here's your stuff, you know. Okay, so then lastly, let's go to 2 Thessalonians, and let's look at a couple of questions we might come out of this verse here. Because he says, finally, brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Well, who's us? Well, obviously, in this case, it's Paul and his people who are out there teaching what Christ taught Paul. And it's his ladies that help him. It's in Romans 16. It's those people, Barnabas and all these guys. So pray for them. These guys are dead. How can we pray for them? Well, you can pray for me. I'm certainly not Paul, although I am Paul's son. I'm certainly not Barnabas and not part of that crowd. So it's not me you were trying to get out. See, Paul needed the prayers because it was him that the word of life may have free course. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Okay? So, is it me? Is it the different people? No, it's the word of God now. And I suppose you can pray for me and for this website and for people that your friends, if they listen to this, that they would get it. It isn't because it's from me, though. It's because it's from the word of the Lord. Paul had the word of the Lord in his day. So Paul needed the prayers that when Paul would go someplace, his words, which were the word of the Lord, would have free course. So today, sure, pray for the website, pray for me, pray for the few sermons I'm coming up with anymore, that it's the word of the Lord will have free course in the lives of people. I mean, there's very few people in our website that are there because of me when I first told them about it. Remember, we always get these emails from these agencies that want to get your website to have more exposure and stuff. Well, I'm always amazed at the people that get a hold of the website. And they still find it without us spending money on these fancy schmancy web advertisement places. I've got a letter here from a man, let's see here, who is leading singing in an old people's home and couldn't find any of the traditionally played hymns, as he called them, on an actual instrument that he can download and use, but he finds ours. So that's great. Flooding back memories from my childhood when my mother used to play the hymns on piano at church and home. So that's been a joy to him. We've got another guy named Rich. Rich, you'll be listening to this someday. Rich always writes these encouraging notes. He's been in some tough wars, but I never found Rich. Rich found this. So the word that's in this website has free course. And we know that someday this website's going to be done. So he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Okay, pray that I, or the talker here, or the sermons on this website, but it's the word of the Lord that's involved in this website and in these sermons would have free course. And you all know, Even this Les Feldick guy, none of these guys use the verses that we use, as many verses. I've always wanted the people to get a hold of their Bible, not me. I've always wanted people to get a hold of the Bible, rightly divided, according to Paul, and not get caught up in some fake Paul website, for example. And you won't if you get a hold of your Bible. You read it for yourself. So this is what needs to have free course, the Word of the Lord. A King James Bible is the Word of the Lord. A rightly divided King James Bible is the Word of the Lord. That's what we want to have free course. So there's something you pray for. Even though we know the Word of the Lord has very little free course these days, but it's still there. It still can be. It's not the tribulation yet. It's not in the famine state. Almost, but not quite. And it's still available. But we also know, how should they hear if somebody doesn't go out and tell them? Romans chapter 10 again. So we still got to tell people about this. This is really, you know, is it you that need free course? No. You sit down and you talk to some people. Once you bring up that King James Bible, it doesn't have free course anymore. People really hate that thing. Anyway, but we're not there to do that. We are there to rest of that verse where it says, and be glorified. Whether people accept it or not, whether people believe it or not, or in Chris, in your example there, whether people respond with anger or not, it doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter whether they get angry or not. You said what you said, and the word of the Lord has been glorified. That's what you're doing. You're glorifying the word of the Lord. If people don't want it, that's their problem, not yours, not mine. You know, yeah, it bothers me back in Tushy of what's going on. The word of the Lord should have free course there, but it doesn't. What goes on with your friends? The word of the Lord should have free course, but it doesn't. But we have glorified it by telling people what it says. And then the final question there is, even as it is with you. So I have to ask the question, is it? Does the word of the Lord have free course with you? And is the word of the Lord glorified that when you hear it preached, or when you hear it read, or talked about through the website, through me, or through your own readings, or whatever, is it glorified? Even as it is with you. It needs to be glorified with us before we can expect somebody else to see it glorified. So yes, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. So naturally, I've got to ask the question, is the word of the Lord, or does the word of the Lord have free course and is it glorified with you? If it does, somebody will see it and want that. I remember so many examples and illustrations that when I first got into this stuff and started teaching this stuff, and I myself felt released, and I myself felt excited, and I recognized in Timothy and Titus that yes, we can do some things that please God, but it won't please others, but it's okay, it's pleasing God. And we get comfort from Titus chapter 2, that people would complain and whine because of that. The modesty stuff, the Titus chapter 2 stuff, the 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 2. People did not, the word of the Lord was not glorified because it wasn't glorified with them. They did not glorify it, they whined about it. So we should glorify what we hear in the word of the Lord, from the word of the Lord, and maybe they'll see it or maybe they won't see it. So maybe those are a couple encouraging words for those of us that still try to talk to people about it. And I tell you, it's tough. It's just, it doesn't matter what the Bible says anymore. It just really doesn't. And knowing, of course, that some of those things we just willfully choose not to follow, well, what's the problem? Is God gonna make you sick? No, that's not going to happen. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is for. I just have to ask these Bible guys, well, if you think God's going to chastise you because of that, what's the point of the judgment seat of Christ? There's no... why is God going to judge the situation twice? Is he going to judge you once now and spank you because of something you shouldn't have done? Or you were thinking on the wrong things or doing the wrong things? So when the judgment seat of Christ comes along, he's going to do it again? Well, of course not. And Romans chapter 2 tells us that for a lost person, he's storing all that stuff up for their judgment. So in the last second, if they do choose to be saved, it's cleaned up, it's wiped out. And if not, well, they have their chance. This is the dispensation of grace for the lost as well as for the saved as well as the lost. The saved, our works will be judged, not us. For the lost, their works will be judged, but they also will be part of their works, which will be sin contained, and they have to burn with their works. But Paul specifically says, we will not burn, just our works. It's too simple. People have got to let go of what they've been taught when they start getting into the Paul thing. And we've all had to go through that. So, that's it